let me tell you a story. A few years ago, I heard about a rapper named Ice-T who was selling a CD called Cop Killer, celebrating the ambushing and murdering of police officers. It was being marketed by none other than Time Warner, the biggest entertainment conglomerate in the country, in the world. Police across the country were outraged, and rightfully so. At least one of them had been murdered. But Time Warner was stonewalling because the CD was a cash cow for them, and the media were tiptoeing around because the rapper was black. I heard Time Warner had a stockholders meeting scheduled in Beverly Hills. I owned some shares of Time Warner at the time, so I decided to attend the meeting. What I did was against the advice of my family and my colleagues. I asked for the floor to a hushed room of 1,000 average American stockholders. I simply read the full lyrics of Cop Killer, every vicious, vulgar, instructional word. I got my 12-gauge sawed off. I got my headlights turned off. I'm about to bust some shots off. I'm about to dust some cops off. It got worse. A lot worse. Now, I won't read the rest of it to you. But trust me, the room was a sea of shocked, frozen, blanched faces. Time Warner executives squirmed in their chairs and stared at their shoes. They hated me for that. Then I delivered another volley of sick lyrics, brimming with racist filth, where Ice-T fantasizes about sodomizing the 2 12-year-old nieces of Al and Tipper Gore. She pushed her butt against my... No. I won't do to you here what I did to them. Let's just say I left the room in stunned silence. When I read the lyrics to the waiting press corps outside, one of them said, we can't print that, you know. I know, I said, but Time Warner is still selling. 2 months later, Time Warner terminated Ice-T's contract. I'll never be offered another film by Warner Brothers or get a good review from Time Magazine, but disobedience means you have to be willing to act, not just talk.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, July 20th, 2009. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the Wild Global... You see that? I didn't screw the date up. Huh? Didn't screw the date up this show. Screwed up the date last show. Sorry about that, but that's because, you know, I'm just a guy broadcasting, the Wild Global sit rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal, and you can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, podcast.com, Podcast Alley, Second Life, Node Archers at grid 1557-4666. And don't forget that we are, in fact, simulcast on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz. Did you like that intro? The one that I was just playing there before the show started? I don't have Sumerian with me this week. It's true. He's not with me. I'm here by myself trying to do the show on my own, and it feels weird not having Sim here. It does. It feels odd, you know? The show seems a lot more quiet. There's not a lot of bounce back going back and forth. It's kind of hard, you know, because, you know, he was gone for such a long time, and now he's back, and now I miss him. So I have to try to make do on my own. But did you like the intro? What the intro was Charlton Heston. That's if you recognize the voice. I've had to clean it up quite a bit. But it's actually Charlton Heston reading I Love You, My KKK Bitch, which was quite an interesting piece of work that he did. Now, for those of you who are fans of Jello Biafra, you'd remember that on one of his previous albums, Jello said, you know, hey, I'd love to hear that episode of I Love My KKK Bitch. And so we've, of course, provided that. And that was what the intro was, the show was for. So let's get into some feedback right off the top. Since Sim is not here, got to try to fake it, make up my time on my own. Hey, Sean! Hello. BubbaTentacles.com. Now, BubbaTentacles.com. Let me tell you about these guys. This was the guy, the only guy, who showed up to meet me in Atlanta. You know what? I was down there. A lot of people, they didn't catch up with me for whatever reason. There's lots of legit reasons. I mean, you know, what the hell? I can't believe anybody shows up anyway. But this guy here, BubbaTentacles.com, he showed up. So you know what? I'm going to plug his stuff. He makes soaps and jellies. He lives on this really cool little farm, actually. He's pretty wog. He's a hell of a wog guy. You know, really nice guy. Hell of a nice guy. Showed up, gave me some soap. I thought it was the most Fight Club thing ever. You know, it's pretty slick. And he bought... did he buy me? Yeah, he did. He bought me dinner. At, where do we have dinner? Oh, shit, I should remember that. It's just across the street from, the Glen Hotel in Atlanta. Yeah, it's a little, it's like, we got a one-word name to it. Crap, anyway, it was great feed, and the people in there were super nice, and it was just a lovely, lovely time. So, go check out Bubba Botanicals, because he's actually a hell of a nice guy, and he's got a really good thing going on there. You want to talk about, there's guys, you know, when you meet them, when you meet fans, sometimes it's a real crapshoot. You don't know what you're going to get. You really don't. You know, you could have the guy who's, you know, got the razor blade sticking out of his face, or you could have the guy who looks like, you know, he's a post-op transsexual, or you could have the guy that looks like he just stepped out of church, or you could have the guy who looks like an accountant, or you could have, like, weird foreign people that you totally don't understand, or people that look like monks. I mean, it's very, very strange when you meet wogs, right? You have no idea what you're coming up against. So when I put myself out like that in the void of Atlanta, a city I don't know very well, a city which has more black people in it than any city I've ever been in, and I say that because I'm a very small person compared to the average black man in Atlanta. And in Canada, I'm quite a large person. But and I'm not being racist here. I'm just being an observation. Please, for the love of God, do not think that I'm being offensive in any way. But these gentlemen, African-American gentlemen who I meet down there on a day-to-day basis, were freaking huge. I mean, these guys were like linebacker football huge. And anybody who's ever had to work in a bar or, you know, in any sort of security capacity would look at these guys. And, you know, after you've done it for a while, you size people up pretty quickly. And that's not, you know, to say, like, you want to fight them, but you kind of got a figure for, you know, if something was to go wrong, who you'd want on your side, you know? And you determine things that way. So in Atlanta, I'm looking at the average person, it just comes automatically, and I realize that I could be beaten to death by, like, you know, 80% of the population of the women. You know, never mind the men. You know, I'm thinking 100% of these guys. Honestly, I was like a surprise. You know, if you're a big guy and you're listening to the show, you'll occasionally meet another big guy who you're like, wow, you know, that guy's bigger than me. Okay. It's that same experience, only for me in Atlanta, it was like, wow, that guy's actually smaller than me. That's kind of cool. Doesn't make me feel like I'm minute. Yeah, they're just big people. And thankfully, though, they were probably the most friendly people ever when I was there. As I don't know if I mentioned this, but I tried grits when I was there, and I thought that was a novel experience. You know, and everybody, you know, in Canada, and this is an observation, in Canada I noticed that people aren't so quick to laugh. But down in the States, everybody's real quick to laugh. You know, it's like they want to laugh. And I think that's one of my favorite things about Americans, is that they are so, I think they're funny. And I think they know they're funny, and they've got a pretty wicked sense of humor sometimes. But, I mean, I think an American would forgive someone faster than anyone else, probably because they have a really good sense of humor. You know, which sounds like a strange thing to say, but I think it's a fair, you know, a lot of them, they give the Yanks a hard time. They do. The Yanks have a hard time. They got some crazy people running the show who've been running, doing crazy shit for a long time, and no one knows what to believe anymore, and they're spawning out all this media. So, yeah, you know what? The Yanks are pissing off the world to some degree. No more than the Chinese are, you know, because they're pissing off the world, too. Thankfully, otherwise it'd just be the Americans pissing off the world, wouldn't we all just, you know, we must be getting tired of throwing stones at them. So we've been throwing stones at them forever, right? So let's be fair. It's like Microsoft. Honestly, it is. It's like Microsoft. Everybody's hacked on Microsoft for so long that it's almost blasé to do that now. You know what I mean? It's like, that's kind of the way the world is with the United States of America. In my observation, you know. I mean, Canada has done some great things, and I'm very proud of Canada as a nation. But I don't like the idea of nations as a go. But I got a letter about this, and we'll be talking more about that later. But I got another piece of feedback here. Hey, Sean and Sim. But Sim's not here, so screw you, hippie. Listen to the podcast. I would like to comment on the term banjo. Ah, banjo is about this dinosaur. They named a dinosaur banjo in Australia. Having lived in Australia all my life, I've never come across the term banjo. Huh. Interesting. Not an Aussie term. So, hello, banjo day. What? Not an Aussie term. Okay. However, a famous author called Banjo Patterson, who is a well-known author in Australia, has been the basis of names. And from what I can tell, they named the dinosaurs after the characters in his stories. Yet another brilliant idea from Australia. Sigh. Oh, and nice Michael Jackson joke, too. For those of you who didn't catch the Michael Jackson joke, I'm proud of this one. I made this one up. a friend of mine called me up and told me a joke, and it was a stupid joke, and it was a Michael Jackson joke, which I will not repeat. And I thought the joke was so stupid, I listened to him and said, yeah, you know, what's more important than Iran? Michael Jackson. yeah, and he's like, dude, that's not funny, and I know, that's the joke. It's not very funny, but that's exactly what happened. You know, Iran is oh, we want leader, you know, freedom, and they're rioting in the streets for it, you know, and their election was totally frauded. Everybody knows it. You know, shit. The whole world knows it, right? But nobody did shit. Why? Well, it's not our problem, right? They got the supreme religious leader over there. You know, well, shit. As long as we listen to the supreme religious leaders, what could possibly go wrong? You know, really. Looking at history and stuff. But, yeah. Anyways, I wanted to comment on this Banjo Patterson. If anyone can give me a link to some of his books, that'd be great. I'd like to read some of that stuff, because he must be a hell of an author to have inspired paleontologists and archaeologists and dinosaur diggers world over, especially in Australia, which is a land of harsh men, you know, or a harsh land for men, or land that's harsh on men. It's generally freaking harsh. You know, pretty short list of animals that won't kill you that live there. You know, so, yeah. Yeah, dangerous territory, Australia. But moving on here, let's get into a sort yourself out. Dear Sean, I'm becoming more horny. I should do this, I'm going to screw up an accent here, because this is my sort of strange European accent I'm going to pull off here. Since I'm becoming more horny, and more horny for Canada and you Canucks, every day I decide to send out a bunch of questions. So, he's actually asking me these questions, and this is one of the weirdest questions. I can't even do the accent with this. This is one of the weirdest interviews I've ever gotten answered. And whenever people ask me for interviews, I read them on the air. So, you know, this is what I do. Do you guys like Trailer Park Boys? What the fuck have you never mentioned the show on the air? Well, I don't watch Trailer Park Boys. Never seen it. Not really interested in it. Can't really comment on it. I'm sorry. Next question. What is your opinion on French Canadians and Quebec? I can't recall you ever making a statement on those, but again, I am not like those fat, pasty virgins who listen to every newsreel episode. Period. Now, I resent that very much. I wanted to, you know, that kind of put me off, because I'm like, first of all, there's lots of fat, pasty virgins out there, okay, who have never heard of newsreel, okay, and that's not very fair. You know, you can't make statements like that. And you know, seriously. But, you know, as long as it keeps people entertained. But that's a little bit, you know, don't slag on people like that. That's not cool, man. That's not cool. Anyway. The French Canadians and Quebec. This is an interesting thing because this has been asked of me a lot lately. This is like a big meme where it's like, okay, I think the fact that you speak a different language than I do is awkward. I think it's awkward because I can't talk to you freely. All right? That's annoying to me. That's the truth. That's where it is. But that's true of any language in any culture I would deal with. It's not just the French. It would be people who speak Farsi, people who speak Japanese. I mean, it's annoying. I can't get through to you, which sucks because I want to talk to you for whatever reason. Okay? So I think that, you know, using culture to keep your people isolated is a control mechanism, is what I think. I think if you start wrapping up shit like, I'm Irish, therefore I am Aryan, and I'm better than you, and blah, 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 this breeds an us-and-them mentality, which you gotta be kinda careful with. Because if you follow that, invariably, again, bang, you wind up with death camps. Not very cool. It's a good idea to try to, I don't know, you know, not... Don't go for the differences. What do I think of French Canadians? I think we're all, you know, earthlings. I think we're all cool. Everything's very cool. I don't think anything should get really excited here. I think distinct status is a little bit scary. So let's just, you know, hey, it's cool. Just relax, okay? Have some beer. Chill out. Everything's fine. No one's going to take away your cheese or your smokes or whatever the hell you're doing. Just don't be stupid over there. What are you isolating and becoming a micro kingdom? That's not the way to the future. You know, I think that's ridiculous. I think that we'd be looking for ways to unify the planet. That would be a good idea, I would think. Even if it, you know, sometimes I think, you know, what if Alex Jones and all the guys, you know, who've got, this is their master plan. You know, I wonder, Jesus, if they should watch his shit at the Bilderberg meetings. You know, because if it's not true, they must be laughing their asses off. He must be a guest speaker there. You know, because if it's not true, they're like, wow, check out this guy's theory. You know, we're gonna take the world, you know. but, you know, seriously, you look at, you know, the whole concept of even if they win and, you know, they're unify the planet, even then we could overthrow them. You know what I mean? And then we'd still have a unified planet, and we could, like, you know, carry on. So would it be worth it in the long run? Which was a question which I came across as I was forced to watch the film The Watchmen, which, if you haven't seen The Watchmen, you know, you'll meet a lot of people you know are in the movie. They represented archetypes of different characters. Very interesting film. It left me really uncomfortable. It left me really uncomfortable. I didn't enjoy the film, I would say. There was cool things about the film. I enjoyed characters about the film. In a casual way, if I was just, you know, talking to buddies about the film, I'd say, yeah, it's a movie about a guy named Rorschach. He's a real badass. Like the guy, you know. needed to learn how to backpedal a little. But basically a hard charger and a good shit. You know, someone you'd want in your corner. You know. But anyways, I digress from this question of getting away from French Canadians, Quebec, which is about unity, but you know, not at all costs, which is, you know, what the whole Watchmen film was about. But I think that it's a good question. Sometimes I get pissed off, and I use words like treason when I hear people talking about trying to divide up the country. And I think that's stupid. I think it's dumb. I think it's just as dumb if Texas were to try to isolate from the United States. I think that's ridiculous. It's a stupid idea. You know. Maybe some people in Texas need to invade the rest of the world. Maybe that's what they should do. Rather than isolating, maybe they should, you know, don't be pussies. Take them on. You don't like what's going on? Go in there and sort it out. You know, and do it legally. Lots of smart people in Texas. But, you know, it's like anything else. Anyway, let's get on to the next question. Would you agree that Canada is basically a sane and improved version of the United States? No, I would not agree with that. It's like you have Social Security stuff, but you also get to run around with lots of guns as well. No, no, we don't. We don't have any guns at all, really. It's like shooting the cake and having it too. Okay, we can get some guns. Okay, we can't get them at the end of the block like you can in the United States. Okay, where I think that that's great. I think there should be guns everywhere. I think people should know how to use guns. But I believe in the death penalty too. Me and Robert Heinlein, we see a lot of things in common. Sometimes on a bad day, I kind of like the way Singapore does things. You know, on a bad day, I get a little draconian. And I'm sure there's people out there who are that way. But that's why I'm really glad, you know, I'm not involved with law enforcement. But, yeah, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of cops out there who, you know, sometimes I think, you know, if I had one free mag to spend once a month, you know, like 7 bullets a month that I could spend any way I want, you know, they would have a list. Boy, society would get cleaned up in a hurry. But anyway, in general, why in fuck don't you talk more about Canada on the show? It's always America, 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 like you had a hard-on for those guys. Honestly, what's up with that? I want to hear about Canada, for fuck's sake. Well, interesting question. I think you should learn about Canada. We're big on... we're pretty big on manners, generally, as a people. But one of the things you got to know about Canada is there's about 34 million of us. Okay, so we're pretty low. Versus, you know, there's more people in, like, California than there are in Canada, I believe. And that's just one state. Okay, so there's a lot of stuff happening in America, you know. And Mexico's shot. Okay, they don't really, you know, they're not getting the message out on what's going on in America. So it really falls on Canadians to be, you know, letting people know what's going on in American media and what stuff is not floating to the outside world. Because the BBC isn't reporting on, you know, the crap that America's reporting on. And some of it is not crap. And that's where my stuff comes in. The internet is, you know, pretty big in America. So it's not like I've got a hard-on for America as such. I do want to say, though, that I wouldn't deny that I like Americans. I think they're fantastic people, happy to be their neighbor. You know, if the concept of manifest destiny really doesn't bother me that much, to be really honest with you. I think that, you know, why not work together with people than working against people? You know, why not, you know, unity and stuff? Radical ideas, I know. Call me, you know, all sorts of crazy words. But I think that if we focus on unity rather than division, that would be for the best, basically. Canada's a great country. We're good people up here, but we're no gooder or less good than anyone else. It's just we're different, just like you're different and I'm different and everybody's different. I'm sure people in Africa are really, really nice people. They're just, you know, they've got a lot of scar tissue going on right now that's got to heal. And once that, you know, passes by, apparently they're legendarily nice. I mean, there's a lot of slavery and shit went on down there. A lot of, you know, barbaric stuff. But, you know, look back on everybody's history. There's a lot of barbaric stuff going everywhere else. And, you know, well, no one's really given Africa a chance to get out of that cycle over the years. So, yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in different parts of the world. But that's not because of, you know, a nation. Just because some idiot with a red marker decided, there you go. You lot are Canadians. This is your flag. You lot are Americans. This is your flag. Okay, everybody wave your flags. Yay! Okay, now trash talk them. You know, what? No. That's stupid. I hated that part of physical education. I think that, you know, inclusion is the way to go, not exclusion. But, you know. Anyway. I'm thinking about moving to Canada. Is this a wise decision at all? What do I need before I embark on that project? My thoughts would be to recce out Canada first, see places I like, and some friends who have my back, arrange a place to live, make my income totally internet-based so there's nothing tying me down for former locations, etc. Outstanding plan. Here's what you do. You make it so that you're making the money first, then come on over. Okay? Because otherwise you're going to fail and die in the street. That is God's truth. Alright? So if you're going to do that, totally down with that. Alright? Absolutely. Come on in. But you get that internet-based business up where you're making the money, because you can live on, you know, shit, $100 a day in Canada. You know, pretty good. And, yeah, come on over. But you better get that up first, otherwise you will die in the street, in the cold. Okay? Anyway, what's your opinion on Elizabeth II? This is one of the questions that really made me put this in the show. What is your opinion of Elizabeth II, the Commonwealth, and being a downtrodden subject of Great Britain in general? You know, I don't know about you. I've met a few Brits. You know, they didn't really try to downtrod on me. Some of them were fantastic shags. You know, I honestly I don't feel very downtrodden by any Briton I've ever met. Some of my family are British, or from the UK. And again, getting away from the whole, like, your people killed my people thing. Let's just move past all that. So that kind of, I think Queen Elizabeth II, is a pretty amazing person to have survived as long as she has under the microscope that she has. Could you imagine the prison of being a royal? Wow. Like, you think paparazzi's bad for, like, movie stars, you know, in, like, in L.A. and shit, okay? Like, could you imagine being a member of the royal family? Like, talk about being a prisoner. Anyway, so as for the Commonwealth and kings and all that good stuff, love kings, love all that good Dungeons & Dragons stuff, would be honored as heck to meet any of those folks, and I would be, if I met Queen Elizabeth II, first of all, I'd be mortally ashamed. Because I would tremble to think that she heard any of the language that I used. But, yeah, no, I mean, I would definitely be respectful. I would be as respectful to that queen as I would be any other queen I'd meet. You know, I mean, why not? Why be ignorant? You know, I mean, Canada, we try to have, you know, halfway decent manners. You know, other than our usual sins, I think that's a pretty good way to be. You know, try to have good manners. You know, it seems to work really well. If you just have some decent manners, as an observation. Yeah, so, yeah. Anyway, in one of old episodes of SKTMF, you had guys staying in your house as a tenant or something. Is that slot free nowadays? Would you like a weird Swede living in your backyard shed? If you come near my house, I will fucking kill you. No, I'm kidding. Not really. this is unbelievable. No, I don't want anyone coming to my house ever again. Thank you. Goodbye. Apologies for rambling on. Greetings from Sweden. Well, I'm happy that you're in Sweden. Good luck with the best of luck with the internet business. And please don't come to my house. Moving into the news. And everything is fine news, which is ironically a great story to follow that last letter with. Smile scans. Are you ready for this one? This is going to blow your freaky little head right off. Smile scans performed by automated machines are given daily to workers at Keihin Electric Express Railway in Japan. The software is provided by Omron Corporation. Okeo originally developed their smile recognition software for use in cameras and other consumerist devices to help the camera focus on smiling faces, which tends to be what people want their cameras to do. Okay. Keihin Railway workers, on the other hand, are forced to submit to Smile Police Machine, to the Smile Police Machine, every morning when they come to work. The Omron software checks for a variety of facial characteristics and then ranks their smile from 0 to 100. The consumer version... Now, tell me this isn't something that the Joker built. Like, no shit. Is this not the most Joker piece of hardware you've ever heard of? Okay, let me get back. This is not... I'm not making this up. The Omron software checks a variety of facial characteristics and ranks the smile from 0 to 100. The consumer version describes this ranking as percent smiling. Okay. Employees whose smiles fail to measure up are given computerized messages to encourage them to smile better. You look too serious. Lift up your mouth corners are typical feedback. The workers also receive a pin printout of their daily smile along with a smile ranking. This paper is kept throughout the day for purposes of inspiration. SF fans, you know, this is like, that is some unbelievable stuff going on right there. And that is happening to people right now in our world, okay, in Japan. Okay, they're making Japanese people do this. That's not funny. That's insane. Okay, that's like freak me out. Oh my god, suck start the shotgun insane. Like, seriously. Like, oh god, did you eat all that acid? Like, oh dude, what is that? You know, how do you even address that? That's not good. That's not good. Whoever the engineers are who built that, like, dude, what are you doing? Really? You know, you're breaking stuff. In swarm news. Now check this one out. This is a crazy story. In swarm news, if you're trapped under rubble after an earthquake, wondering how you'll see daylight again, the last thing you'll need is an insect buzzing around your face. But an insect could save your life if a scheme funded by the Pentagon comes off. The project aims to copt out the way some insects communicate and give early warning of chemical attacks on the battlefield, the equivalent of the canary in the coal mine. The research behind it says the technology could be put to good use in civilian life, from locating disaster victims to monitoring for pollution and gas leaks, or acting as smoke detectors. So you got insect smoke detectors crawling around looking for people. Pentagon-backed researchers have already created insect cyborgs by implanting them with electrodes to control their wing muscles. Now, this is what I wanted to do with some wind scorpions, also commonly referred to as camel spiders. But I've been unable to locate a breeding pair. If anyone can get me a breeding pair of camel spiders, stay tuned for that. We have the address to send them at the end of the show. Make sure you label the box camel spiders, because, you know, Sumerian has to Sumerian doesn't know that what I'm asking for on the air here. So if anyone can get me a breeding pair of camel spiders, mail it to the Rant Media address. That would be fantastic. Getting on with this cyborg thing. The latest plan is to create a living communications network by implanting a package of electrons in crickets, cicadas, or katydids, all of which communicate via wing beats. The implants will cause the insects to use these orthopter nets to modulate their calls in the presence of certain chemicals.
What?
So they're modulating frequencies with their wings. So they're not even actually, they're not like hounds, they're little broadcasters. We could do this by adjusting the muscle tension of some of their parameter that affects the sound production movements. The insect itself might not even notice the modulation. Dude, at this level, that insect isn't noticing much other than its increment, if it's possible. If it can notice anything, I'm certain it's noticing a strong desire to pray for death. Says Ben Epstein of Opcoast, who came up with the idea during a visit to China, where he heard cicadas changing calls in response to each other. The firm, which is based at the Point Pleasant Beach, New Jersey, has been awarded a 6-month contract to develop mobile communication networks for insects. Okay. So, that's what they're doing there. As well as a biochemical sensor, the device modulating the wing muscles, the electronic package would contain a certain acoustic sensor designed to respond to the altered calls of the insects. This would ensure the alarm signals pass quickly along the network and is ultimately picked up by the ground-based transceivers. The Pentagon's priority for these insects is to detect chemical and biological agents on the battlefield, which is a good idea. Chemical warfare sucks. But Epstein says that they could be modified to respond to the scent of humans and thus be used to find survivors of earthquakes and other disasters, so you can use them to hunt people. The real challenge will be to miniaturize electronics. You know, and he goes on and talks about some more good mad scientist stuff. So, yeah, that's, you know, let's take insects and use wet wiring on them. What could possibly go wrong, you know, really? Yeah. You know, that, I don't know, does that freak you out, or does the, I'm still kind of hung up on people giving me a smile ranking and telling me I have to look more, like, what kind of stress is that going to cause you? You know, you're like little Ayoku Marumito Hoi, who is, you know, some dude working his job that his father left him at McDonald's or some shit, in this, like, totally densely packed culture, and now they're like, check your smile reading! Like, holy crap, man! You know, no wonder those guys are into tentacle porn. You know, that's got to do something to your head. But, of course, you know, this story, you knew I was gonna cover this story. Okay, that's right. Thank you very much to the entire freaking internet who sent me this story. You know what it is. Yes, it's the eater robots to roam a barren landscape and of unmanned drones overhead by an artist's rendering of the hellscape that is the battlefield where robots eat flesh. Cue Slayer music. It could be a combination of 19th century mechanics, 21st century technology, or the 20th century horror movie. I love the guys who are writing this stuff. You know, Optimus Prime should be reading this. A Maryland company under the contract of the Pentagon is working on a steam-powered robot. On a steam-powered robot? It's that would fuel itself by gobbling up whatever organic material it can find. Grass, wood, old furniture, even dead bodies. You know, this is such a Fox News story. It's this computer, you know. Okay. What they got here is they got something that's burning biomass, and they took the story, and suddenly it's the robot that's eating the dead, you know, and I'm like, oh man, come on, you know, I'm just like, no man, like, honestly, you know, it's a pretty cool thing to make as it is, you know, and it's some of the stuff that, you know, I talk about in the after now and all that kind of jazz, but it, I mean, would be interesting if they could turn that and micronize it so that, you know, you could give people the ability to not have food poisoning anymore. That would be nice, having gone through a bout of that not 72 hours ago. God, did that suck! Man, you know, it only takes a few degrees of body temperature to really rock your whole day. You know, I mean, you sit at one, you know, if you go 10 degrees body core temperature in either direction, I mean, you're pretty much dead. You know, there's not a lot of play there. You know, if you go up to 100, what is it, 96.7? If I go up to 106.7, it's pretty much tits up. Okay, you can't maintain that temperature for any length of time, I don't think. The same goes the other way. I mean, that's gotta get you dead pretty fast. So, you know, food poisoning, God, that sucks. Why don't they use this nanotechnology and come up with, like, a way that you can use enzymes, have synthetic enzymes, and make it so that, you know, just eats up whatever and feeds you nutrients. That's cool. No one ever talks about that. That was in the after now. Jeez. Anyway, having just, you know, not to be on a rant here, but just that just recently, you know, that happened to me. So where's my flying car, Mr. Future? Stupid Future. Newspeak! That's right. Have you heard of surveillance? Not. This is. I got to get through this without cracking up. All right. Now, this is the kind of shit that just, you know, really does make me crazy. It really does. This is from the Transhumanist magazine. And what they're talking about here is they're talking about putting cameras on people and how that's a good thing, I think. So let's get into this. Watching surveillance. So S-O-U-S, valence, okay? Good word. I like it. Surveillance. Sounds like, you know, new from Rant Media, the cologne. Surveillance. You know, we'll have Sumerian standing there looking all European. Man, we gotta do that. Sim, if you listen to this show, dude, surveillance. It's the new fragrance. Gotta put that patrolling season 3. Okay, surveillance, watching from below. Surveillance is a form of reflectionism. A term that describes use of technology to mirror and confront bureaucratic organizations. Is that anything like, I don't know, a catapult? Because I think a catapult would work better. Reflectionism holds up the mirror and asks the questions, do you like what you see? sorry. All right, hang on. I gotta get through this. Reflectionism, Reflectionism becomes surveillance when it is applied to individuals using tools to observe the organizational observer. Surveillance focuses on enhancing the ability of people to access and collect data about the surveillance and neutralize surveillance. Yeah. Okay. He goes on here talking about the three different types of basically mounting cameras and how it's useful. Okay, it's a really strange article. The guy, you know, knows language really well. I think that it's very difficult to understand what the hell he's talking about here. But he's talking about, like, he's got 4 points. He goes, I'm going to skip over most of his stuff here and just get to the meat of it. The widespread adoption of surveillance technologies is inevitable. Moreover, when people start wearing remote monitoring systems, i.e., you know, cameras, it may actually reduce both the real and perceived need for people to carry self-defense weapons like guns and pepper spray. Cellular telephones are already being promoted as weapons against crime. This trend suggests a possible balance of power in which police carry guns and citizens carry cameras and call the police if necessary, rather than surveillance-only society with police having both the guns and the cameras that can pry into private matters, possibly when no crimes are being committed. Under sight, watching people from below involves at least 4 different but interrelated types of surveillance. Prosthetics, insurance, equivalence, and alibi. Surveillance prosthetics, given the growing demographic of elderly people with increasingly foggy memories, many might consider something akin to a visual hearing aid. A visual memory aid consisting of a wearable camera and portable computer system. The University of Toronto is involved with various projects to invent such assistive technologies for people with special needs. For example, laser eye-tap electric eyeglasses to help people see better. When combined with a wearable computer that provides a supplementary visual information to its wearer, the computerized eyeglasses can also help Alzheimer's patients and others to remember things. This is known as visual memory prosthetic. Now, there's a picture of your buddy and mine, Steve Mann, who is, you know, the wearable computer guy, and this guy is just a god. Okay, I would love to get into a room with Steve Mann, because I just think he is the, I think he's just like, he's one of those, he's like a superhero. He really is. Honest to God, Steve Mann is a superhero, if ever, that guy, he's the first cyborg ever. I mean, he's a pretty hardcore guy. I mean, there's a guy who embraced his nerd. You know what I'm saying here? There's a guy who wasn't afraid to come out of the closet and say, yeah, this is how big of a dork I am. Check out how dork I can be. Check out, I'm so dork, I can go in directions that you never even thought possible, and I'm actually doing it. If the, you know, to give Steve Mann a fair shake, if he was an American, the media would have snapped him up, and they would have just, he'd be a god now. And I think it's only a matter of time before somebody at Fox or somebody, you know, gets a clue and gives him a permanent part in Star Trek or something, because the guy is just, he's unbelievable. He really is. And that's, he's who I got the picture of on Newsreel this week, if you go look it up on my live journal. So that's his prosthetics. And then he talks about surveillance insurance. A communications prosthetic, or PSD, for special need individuals as elderly will help them communicate with better with others. Also protect them from violence. This is great. Can you imagine this? It keeps a record of what happens, makes it obvious to the perpetrator that they are a remote witness, not merely a local recording that can be seized or destroyed by the perpetrator, and facilitates real-time discussion with a remote entity. So you put this device on your head, and they actually think that the guy with the helmet on is going to slow down thugs, you know. Stop. I am a remote. I am under remote surveillance. Dude, no, man. You're going to get face raped, okay? Not cool. Your head is going to come off. It's going to be on like Donkey Kong, and you are going to be in the hurt place, okay? No. That's a really bad idea. The transhumanist community, you know, it's like, here's an example. This is their example. It's like the cop shows up, and apparently the guy with the helmet on his head. So the cop shows up. He's got this guy with his helmet on his head. And the officer says, this is in his article here. Put your hands above your head. The person you are talking to is hearing impaired. Are you recording this? The person you are talking to is wearing a computerized visual memory aid for quality control and training purposes. Your interaction with him is being transmitted and recorded to our remote offices. If you have any problems with this, please contact. Okay, at this point, the cops let the dog go, you know. And you're getting mauled with this helmet going off. You know, I mean, want to know more? Like, dude, no. That's not going to work. You know, I enjoy your ideas, and I think that he's got some good points here. He talks about having it as an alibi. There's some pluses to this. But I think generally having surveillance everywhere, I like the idea of surveillance everywhere, surprisingly. I think that all cameras should be public access, though. So anyone at any point can look anyone anywhere, period. That's probably pretty novel. Probably not very realistic or possible. But hey, I'm kind of a dreamer. But that would be how I'd want to roll. Again, you know, not a real good policymaker here. Just kind of reporting the news. But anyway, getting at the end of his article, which I enjoy the article, I enjoy the magazine. Really good guy. Not calling the guy down. Please don't think I am. But he makes four predictions here. Surveillance will arise naturally as we replace failing memory and with wearable technology, which is, yeah, absolutely. Prediction number two, he says, to the extent that communication prosthetics result in a decreased overall risk or risk perceptions, surveillance will also become an expected social norm. Ah, well, the idea that they're going to put cameras everywhere, yeah, it's kind of a safe bet. Surveillance and oversight will become less necessary when there is surveillance. Yeah. Okay. Well, the surveillance idea just kind of turned me off there when you said that. Yeah. A surveillance society will be a society with less corruption. Yeah. Yeah, which, you know, is another way of saying that it's going to be more pure. You know, with less corruption, less, you know, dirt, more pure. So that makes me a little nervous. You know, it's like you don't really want the engineers running the world. You really don't. You know, because that's, again, what leads to death camps, and WOGs hate death camps. Yeah, we don't like them. So, no, you know, that makes me nervous when they start talking about things like a society with less corruption. Because what about the corrupt guys? Some of the nicest people I've ever met were corrupt as hell. That's the truth. Absolute truth. Some of the nicest dudes I ever met were corrupt. Oh, God, corrupt. Oh, hopeless. Hopeless. But, nicer guy you'd never meet. You know. And shirt off your back. Corrupt as hell. You know, but shirt off your back. And you know, whatever you needed. You had a problem, you went to that guy. Dude, man, it was... He came through. You know, there's lots of guys who are corrupt who are like that. So don't, you know... I would rather there not be corruption, absolutely. But, you know, I mean, that's kind of a perfect ideal. And we as humans are generally pretty awkward, stumbling, semi-aquatic apes, which have only had about 1,000 years to even remotely get our shit together. And it's flimsy. You know, it's pretty flimsy. So, you know, as long as we avoid death camps and, you know, we got a few stop gaps, I think we can probably sort this out. Now, one of the things that catches me is I managed to actually get through my my email this week a little bit. And we have some plague news that got sent in by Kizzle. And this story's a couple weeks old, but this, I didn't hear nothing about this. A Foley physician said what appears to be the first case of HIV/AIDS cure in the world is getting little mention in the media. What? The first case of HIV/AIDS cure in the world. Okay, that's acknowledgement of a cure. Dr. Awadesh K. Gupta, medical director at Foley Walk-In Medcare, said he first heard of a medical breakthrough in April when he attended the annual conference of the American College of Physicians in Internal Medicine in Philadelphia. It's a conference Gupta tries to attend every year. This is the most prestigious organization of physicians in internal medicine, is responsible for certifying postgraduate training in internal medicine. It's also one of the oldest. Now, internal medicine. It makes me wonder if this is like some kind of, you know, if this is like a legit organization, but I guess it sounds legit. According to Gupta, who's been practicing medicine in South Baldwin area since 1997, the cure was first reported in early 2008 by a group of physicians from Germany, the annual conference of retroviruses and opportunistic infections. Well, that doesn't sound a lot like, you know, kind of Rampta sort of stuff, so that sounds a bit more legit. And the New England Journal of Medicine. Oh, well, that's a lot more legit. Hey, so one of the most prestigious medical journals of the world finally published a report in the February 12th, 2009 issue, Gupta said. So why is the news of the first HIV/AIDS case cure receive so little attention where the public is concerned? I can't be sure as to why so little publicity, he said recently. My guess is the most scientific researchers are somewhat stunned that a clinician, and not a research scientist, has been able to come up with a cure. Most of the big research and big money and big name American institutions are somewhat embarrassed to acknowledge the very first case of HIV cure not coming from their institutions. The cure is in study from the Charity University Hospital in Berlin, Germany. The doctor is Giro Hüter, who works in the Department of Hematology, Oncology, and Transfusion Medicine at the same hospital. Asked about the reaction of attendees in the medical conference in Philadelphia as regarding the news of an HIV/AIDS cure, Gupta said, unfortunately, because of the hectic schedule, I did not try to engage too many physicians. However, the doctor presenting the information seemed extremely excited about it. As Gupta explains, the case in cure in question was a 40-year-old American working in Berlin who had been HIV positive for 10 years. The patient's HIV infected had been under control for 4 years with conventional AART treatment regime, high active antiretroviral therapy. The patient's developed leukemia, however, bone marrow transplant and stem cells were done using standard protocol with Gupta, said, including radiation therapy and chemotherapy prior to the transplant. Remember, once you stop HIV drugs, the HIV viral count rises very rapidly within a few days to a week. According to Gupta, Hüter said the German physician treating the American deliberately chose a stem cell donor who had a genuine mutation known as CCR Delta 32 rather than his best matched donor. Gupta and Hüter remembered research first observed in 1996 and research which Gupta said is well known in the scientific community, that research found in certain gay men in the San Francisco area remained uninfected with HIV in spite of risky sexual activities. As was later discovered, those men had the CCR-5 Delta 32 gene mutation. Now, isn't that some shit? As it turned out, the patient's stem cell transport was a success. Gupta said even though the patient had to have a second stem cell transplant from the same donor when his leukemia relapsed. This patient has been off his HIV drugs for 2 years now. He continues to show no detectable signs of HIV. In all the known places HIV is detected, no signs of HIV in his blood, bone marrow, lymph nodes, intestines, or brain. Also, the patient's T-cell count remains normal. Thus, according to Gupta, within the limits of scientists' ability to detect HIV, it appears that this patient's HIV has been eradicated. The gene mutation CCR-5 Delta 32 is found mostly in white European populations, especially Northern Europeans and Scandinavians, according to Gupta, who is one of the staff of the South Baldwin Regional Medical Center and served as the chief of medicine in 2008. Those who have this gene mutation from both parents are completely resistant to most common forms of HIV infection. You can get tested if you wish, he said. It is believed that this genetic mutation may have what happened during long periods of smallpox plague and other pandemics that devastated European populations. While Americans living in Berlin case is Gupta's first case of confirmed cure of HIV in the world, he cited the 1989 case and similar Dr. John Rossi, currently at the Center of Hope Cancer in Girardi, California, had a 41-year-old patient with AIDS and lymphoma. The patient underwent radiation therapy and removing his bone marrow and received new cells from a donor. When the donor had the CR5 Delta 32 gene mutation, it is not known, Gupta said, but when the patient died of his cancer at age 47, autopsy tests from 8 organs and the tumor revealed no HIV. So that's worth reading out loud. The CCR5 Delta 32. That's apparently that genetic mutation is known to, they're saying, cure AIDS, which is like killing a lot of people right now all over the world in really horrible ways. So maybe we should get on that. Maybe we should talk about that somehow with people that you know. Just an idea. Just an idea. In booster news, injections of THC. What's that in? The active principle in cannabis. Right. Weed. Eliminate dependence on opiates. What? Injections of THC, the active principle in cannabis, eliminate dependence on opiates in rats deprived of their mothers at birth. In findings, it could lead to therapeutic alternatives to existing substitution treatments. In order to study psychiatric disorders, neurobiologists used animal models, especially maternal deprivation models. Jesus, that's vicious. Depriving rats of their mothers for several hours a day after their birth leads to a lack of care to an early stress. The lack of care, which takes place during intense neuronal development, is liable to cause lasting brain dysfunction. So they take you away from your mom when you're a kid. You have lasting brain dysfunction. And they go on talking about how, you know, there's this dependency. So they're saying, essentially, that they start shooting you with mega doses of THC, and it gets you off the need for morphine and, heroin. Which, sure. Okay. Absolutely. Because, you know, junkies, right, are not, the junkies are, they're not people like you and I are people. They're enslaved. You know, they are. They're enslaved by a thing. And it's not really their fault any more than like a zombie. You don't hate the zombie. You know, it's a tragedy thing. And I'm sure I'm going to generate a lot of hate mail of people talking about this. But people who understand about addiction, I mean, addiction is a horrible, horrible thing. And it does things to you. It twists your mind, and it's, that's what the whole character in Lord of the Rings, that's what Gollum was all about. It was about addiction, right? So, you know, I mean, yeah, junkies come across my lawn, I'm dusting them, that's it, you know. But it's not like I hate the junkie. You know, I hate the junkie because, you know, he's enemy and he's coming across my lawn. I don't hate the junkie because he's a junkie, you know what I mean? It's like, I feel bad for them, you know? So if there's something that we could do that maybe would save some of these people by getting them off of such a wickedly destructive drug, as heroin and morphine and all their derivatives, you know, that would be okay, I think, you know, generally. So, yeah, we got some Cyberpunk kit here. How about this one here? Now, normally I give you Cyberpunk kit that you want, but, yeah, Narconon. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'd rather them. Oh, that's horrible. No, I wouldn't even say that. But, yeah, no, not Narconon. We'll find a better model. In Cyberpunk kit, go find a religion. There you go. In Cyberpunk kit, a real religion. Yeah, in Cyberpunk kit, I'll get to the story. Mobile fingerprint scanners! Hey, how about these bad boys? Every police force in the UK is to be equipped with mobile fingerprint scanners, handheld devices that allow police to carry out identity checks on people on the street. The new technology, which is ultimately may be able to receive pictures of suspects, is likely to be widespread and used within 18 months. Tens of thousands of sets, compact as BlackBerry smartphones, are expected to be distributed. Well, isn't that just ducky? Isn't that just fine? Now, this is an old story, too, so these are already been out and circulated. Rest of the world, did you know that? Did you know that? Police claim the scheme called Project Midas. Isn't that a Greek... the Illuminati, you know, you're not making it... I wonder if they do that on purpose to mess with Alex Jones. Like, do they do that? Because that's totally like an Alex Jones title right there. We'll transform the speed of criminal investigations. A similar, heavier machine has been tested during limited trials with motorway patrols. To address fears about mass surveillance and random searches, the police insist fingerprints taken by the scanners will not be stored or added to databases. Yeah, the check is in the mail. Liberty and civil rights groups caution that the law required fingerprints taken in such circumstances to be deleted after use. Oh, yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, we'll get right on that. Gareth Crossman, the Liberty Police Director, said saving time with this technology could help police performance, but officers must make absolutely certain that their fingerprints only the suspect when an individual or offense can't be established his identity. Details of this type of equipment and scope have been revealed in a presentation by the National Police Improvement Agency, or NPIA, NIPIA. They should have a name like, Iron Forge or something like that. You know, if they're going to have Project Midas, they should have, like, you know, the, you know, the new, you know, the Hydra. That's what I call their National Police Improvement Agency. Anyway, the initial phase of the mobile identification at scene, the Midas project, was to cost between 30 million and 40 million pounds, which will enable officers to perform rapid checks on fingerprints. Wow, people are making money with that, okay? That technology is not that advanced. Come on. A fingerprint reader attached to a cell phone that, you know, goes to a database. 40 million pounds. Dude, come on. There's no way that's worth 40 million pounds. Like, no way. Jeff Whitaker, senior technology officer at the NPIA, told of the Biometrics 2008 conference that Project Midas would save enormous amounts of police time and reduce the number of wrongful arrests. Dude, 40 million pounds? Wow. You know, why don't you just hire more cops? You know, you could always do that. You know, because that way you don't need cameras. You've actually got, you know, police there that can do stuff. I'm just saying. You know, or maybe, you know, you could get some PTSD programs for your cops so that they're not, you know, walking wounded or taking out their aggressions on your indigenous populace and generally making things shitty. You know, just a thought. You know, and I don't understand why that they don't do that for cops. I mean, I think they do that for some cops in Europe, but there's a lot of cops that are obviously really messed up. And you've all seen them. Everybody's seen a cop that's really fucked up. And maybe he's angry. Maybe he's the angry cop who pulled you over and he's like, he's in his own world, man. Like, that guy, he is not sane. He's not necessarily a bad man, you know, but he is shocked to fuck. Like, something has happened to this guy, you know, and he's like, you know... Like, he could... It's... Most of those guys, you could see them turning the gun on themselves. And that's a horrible thing to say. That is a horrible thing to say. But that... You know the guys you see who aren't afraid to use guns. You know? And you see these guys, and you're like, hey, man. And he's like, what do you want? You know, because you're not getting through the shield. And yeah, you know... it would be great if there was some sort of a program set up for paramedics and for police officers. They could get the help that they need, because some of these guys, you know, they're in trouble, you know, and maybe it's rotations or something. But today's daily hack, not related to that in any way, is blowguns. This is a really neat little YouTube video that got sent to me from Paladin. Thank you very much, Paladin, on how to make fucking industrial grade blowguns out of stuff, you know, you can find around your house. So, you know, next time you've got, you know, the 8-year-old over and you want to show him how your team cool guy captain, you know, put one of these bad boys together and show him how to take out the neighbor's dog. You know, well, not his dog, maybe the cat. Leave the cat. Well, no, just shoot it at, you know, sacks of flour or something, you know, whatever. So, we got your Recomedia today. It's an interesting piece of Recomedia. Now, this got sent to me. This is brand new. This, by the time of this recording, it'll be a few days older by the time you hear this. But in Pirate Radio News, WFRE, We Free FM Pirate Radio, interrupted radio frequencies across the United States last night in an aim to express the inalienable right that we have freedom of speech. Miami, Florida, United States, July 15, 2009. Early this morning, a coordinated group of high-tech revolutionaries were able to successfully infiltrate several radio networks across the nation with an urgent bulletin. It is not yet known exactly how long of a transmission was broadcast, but the FCC is currently investigating the occurrence. It seems that several translator stations were used in order to accomplish this important security breach that has alerted even the White House. More important was the message, which was broadcast without any censorship. So far, only one group of individuals have stepped forth in connection with this investigated incident. The A-Alikes, a New York City-based rap group and RBG affiliate that have admitted their involvement and have compiled several of the audio clips that were broadcast last night for rebroadcasting and international distribution. These clips are almost painful to listen to because you can almost hear the angst, pains, and stress in the people's voices as they voice their own displeasure of the conditions we face every day. Now, this is the story. I don't have any other confirmation of this, so it's entirely possible that we've just given these guys a free radio ad, which is fire. You know, it's a pretty good scam if that's what they're doing. But it'd be interesting if anyone here knows anything about this, because if it was an actual pirate hit, they're not going to talk about it in the conventional sense. So if anybody else hears about this, or hears it's a hoax, fair enough if it's a hoax. But I'd like to know more about this if anyone knows anything else. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to this show, please distribute. But if you can donate, please do so by subscribing. Do so on the website. $5 a month goes a long way. Probably lose it in your car. If you don't mind, please and thank you. I'll keep broadcasting. You keep subscribing. Everything will work out just ducky. Nobody has to die. Clicking on the donate tab on the Dark Atlas website is one way you can do it. Or you can send an envelope to, this is where the camel spiders are going, Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 12151C, 56 Street, Delta BC, Canada, V4M2M4. And I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you'd like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. And be sure to sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, make sure you check out the Psytrance. Always a big fan of it. And I'm going to fade out now with a track from a guy, just to talk up Canada a little bit. He's a radio DJ on CBC Radio 2. Okay? Rich Stir-Fry is his name. Okay? And I heard this song on CBC, and then I heard out afterwards that he was a DJ on the station. He's got some interesting, he's got some pretty, you know, edgy stuff for a guy who's connected with the CBC. I mean, this is a government-funded website. You know, it's pretty liberal stuff. You know, so anyway, this is a tune from him. It's called Blood of a Young Wolf by Buck 65, a good Canadian. So I thought I'd throw that up there. Remember, everyone, we'll never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, everyone, hey, that's what Server said. End of line.
10,000 horses. Sable Island, endless summer. Oh my god, I'm hot steel. Beside myself in friendless number. I ain't got no culture, nothing. Dirty words, but that don't count. Flight attendants, waitresses, superstition, good amount. There's work to do, hell to pay. Memories and fingerprints, calling Papa ignorance. And I don't wanna go. Zoom, get persuasion tech. Zoom, get and spoon race slow and steady. Desert highway of Viento. Still I'm stuck, I can't afford it. Picture postcard, small memento. Echo shadow, sterling silver, burning furnace. Frozen nowhere, just a kid. I had a friend named Deadly Ernest. Cross my heart and hope to die. Stick a needle in my arm. Raise the heavens, call the cops, relax. There's no cause for alarm. Diamond rings and little babies, startlements and miracles. I remember pretty faces, so severe and lyrical. I'm talking Amelia Earhart, Nico Case, Frida Kahlo. All alone the way it should be, I don't even need a shadow. Seeds of wisdom, found no purchase, we don't even have a chance. Birthday party, Armageddon, long stem roses, avalanche. Broken fingers, going nowhere fast and screeching to a halt. All that work for nothing, oh whipping boy, it's all my fault. Zoom, persuasion tech, zoom, persuasion tech, zoom, persuasion tech. Going afraid to fly, and so I'm running, catching fish and chopping wood. The revolution, slow time coming. I don't know what else to do. Cross my fingers, teach the children, read your fortune, storm the studios. Come on, all ye faithful pilgrims. No more same old song and dance. Some good ideas get overplayed. I eat my breakfast, ride my bike, a knife between my shoulder blades. See, I'm a man of many problems, up against some scary odds. We kill, we hide, we all fall down. Idiots love to bury gods. It doesn't happen overnight, though never still, I'm filled with wonder. Lonely like a tightrope walker, hitchhiker, long distance runner. Zoom, kick, persuasion, tech. Good night for you, bad night for me. But I still love you lying down. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Not bad, not bad, not bad at all. I tried your shoes on, cigarettes and crucifixes. Ingmar Bergman, Alphonse Mouzon. Really boring modern music, really boring modern girl. Get me out of here, I'm drowning. I don't like this modern world. Anti-intellect and marketing. Pretty, pretty, who needs talent? Crying eyes, we're so outnumbered. Fight for the right to remain silent. What do I know? Who am I? My two left feet, my big dumb face. I'd do the same if I had the chance. Cheat the system, rig the race. It's all one big misunderstanding. Inside out, I turn my coat. Don't look back, don't move a muscle. One false move, that's all she wrote. Zoom, get persuasion tech. Zoom, get persuasion tech. Zoom, get persuasion tech. Tech.